for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2016 Annual Ladies Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday evening, February the 19th, 2016. Carla B. Todd is the speaker of the evening, teaching on preparing for deliverance.
Listen, after 39 years with the Lord, I know who I am. There was a long time I didn't know who I was, but I know who I am now.
All right.
And what's in a name? Actually, I should just call myself Carla, because my maiden name was Davidson, but I'm not really a Davidson. And my married name is Butoth, and we're not really Butoth. What does that mean? Well, the bastard curse reigns in those families. But anyway,
bring it on.
I know who I am. A rose by any other name is still a rose, right? Okay. Well, I am Carla Butoth, and I'm from Texas. We have a lot of people in Texas because there are a lot of demons in Texas. Lots and lots of demons in Texas. And we're dealing with them one by one. That's the beginning. That's the beginning. And let it begin with me. I have some encouraging words for those of you who don't like to stand up and talk in front of people. That I went to one semester of college, very educated, and I had to take speech. And I had been held hostage, by so many years with fear. I mean, you don't know how big fear was in my life. Did you know that fear is an evil spirit? It's not you. That's what the evil spirit wants you to think, that it's you, but it's not you. And I was born, it was generationally inherited. My dad had fear. And I don't know who on my mother's side had fear. They're all professional worriers. So I guess they all had fear. And I used to be a professional worrier. That is just torment. That is a tormenting way to live your life. Fear has torment. And I can attest that that is true. But anyway, in my one semester of college, I had to take speech. And I didn't show up for any of my classes. And I showed up one day because we were going to have to give a speech. And I was going to get up and stumble through it because I had to make a grade. And I walked in and she said, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "Well, I have a class now." She said, "Honey, I dropped you a long time ago." Fear entered in. Because my daddy was going to kill me. He was paying for this, you know. But anyway, God has a sense of humor, doesn't he? Because look what I do. Now I spend most of my time standing in front of people. And there's no fear. There was nervousness at first, but that went away. Because anytime you do something that you haven't done before, there's a little nervousness in it. So that is an encouraging word to those of you who have fear and who are afraid to get up and talk in front of people. And I want to say to Donna that the word says, confess your faults one to another that you might be healed. So it has begun. Okay? It says, if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And you're beautiful. Your looks have changed since I met you first. So that's encouraging. So tonight, I want to get us ready to receive and have successful deliverance. And so we're going to just, Meryl, thank you very much for opening up your message with unforgiveness and the follow-up by Danica, because what they said is absolutely true. If you want to be free, you have to forgive. That's the deal, like it or not. And we're going to read some scriptures. Well, I'm going to start with prayer, because I know what spirits like to operate to keep you from getting deliverance. And so y'all can just agree with me as I pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I bind the strong man over every person here, including myself. I bind the strong man that wants to strong arm us and keep us in prison. I bind him in the name of Jesus, and I break his power. I bind all spirits of witchcraft. I send out the warring angels right now to scramble every plan and assignment that the enemy has against every person here, every person listening on the internet, every person that works here and lives here. I scramble the plans and the assignments that the enemy has against us. I bind all antichrist spirits, spirits that would want to keep you from hearing the truth. I bind all spirits of offense, getting your feelings hurt. All those spirits of offense, you got to go right now. In Jesus' name, I bind you from working here among the women. I bind all religious spirits that have been in our families for years that would keep us from receiving deliverance, receiving freedom. I bind all judgmentalism, judging this person or that person. In the name of Jesus, I bind all judgments. I break their power now and command you to get out of God's women right now in Jesus' name. I bind all spirits of prejudice. You know, there's all different kinds of prejudice. There's rich prejudice against poor. There's educated against the uneducated. There's people that live in houses, prejudice against people who live in trailers. There are all kinds of prejudice. And I bind every working of prejudice right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind all lying spirits. Lying spirits. Let me explain to you how that works. God showed it to me with my daughter. She had moved back home with her little girl. She was not a happy camper, and neither was Mama. But we were making the best of it. And I had heard her get up, and I was fixing to go somewhere, and I was fixing me a piece of toast in the oven. We like oven toast. We don't like toaster toast. We like oven toast. So I was going to make some toast, and I was going to see if she wanted a piece. So I went to the stairway, which was a straight-up stairway with a ceiling that went up forever, two stories. And so all you had to do was whisper, and it acted like a megaphone. So I went to the stairway, and I said, Katie, no answer. Katie, no answer. Katie. I heard her stomping to the opening. Her arms went up. Why can't you ever talk to me without screaming? And I thought, whoa. I was just making some toast and wanted to know if you would like a piece. Oh, no, thank you. She goes back. So I went to the sink and I said, Lord, what in the world was that? He said, there is a spirit that stands between you and her. Now listen carefully, because this is going to explain a lot of misunderstandings that go on. There's a spirit that stands between you and her and catches your words and projects them to her in a lying manner. I thought, whoa, I start binding that thing in Jesus' name. So if you have that going on in your life, start binding the lying spirit. It's also the spirit that causes you to lie.
Yes.
But it's that kind of thing going on. So I bind lying spirits right now in the name of Jesus that would want to catch my words or any words of anybody else and twist it and give it to somebody else in a lying manner to cause offense, hurt feelings, divisions in the name of Jesus. I bind all spirits of deception. Right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to uproot every spirit of deception that people have learned over their lives. every spirit of deception that has been fed to them by other people in Jesus' name, even self-deception. If they are deceiving themselves, I bind that spirit now. All spirits of delusion and denial, denying the truth and living delusionally, with delusions of grandeur, just any kind of delusions that is keeping you from the truth. I bind spiritual deafness and dumbness and blindness in the name of Jesus Christ. I command those spirits to leave right now so that we can have eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to receive in Jesus' name. I bind the spirit of fear. That spirit of fear. God has not given you the spirit, the spirit of fear. It is a spirit. It is an evil entity, and it's a strong man in so many's lives. I bind that spirit of fear right now, and I break your power off God's people, and I command it to get out of here in Jesus' name. Fear of what's going to happen while you're here. Fear of being exposed. All fears go in the name of Jesus. All blocking spirits and hindering spirits, I command you to go in Jesus' name. I bind you. I bind all spirits of unforgiveness, bitterness, anger, resentment. You go now in the name of Jesus Christ. And I bind all spirits of infirmity. Spirits of infirmity, I bind you and break your power. And I command you to let go of God's people and get out. I don't care what your infirmity is. The blood of Jesus Christ has defeated it. And I command infirmity to go in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father, for what you're going to do. I thank you ahead of time for the freedom that is going to be obtained by all the women that are here. I thank you that you are faithful, Lord. I've seen it over the years. You never, people don't go home the same. I thank you for that. I'm not the same woman I was 10 years before either. Praise God. Mike is thankful too. We celebrated our 40th year anniversary this year. Made it 10, 40 years. It was over at one point. I'm here to tell you, God can fix your marriage. Okay, let's look at 1 Corinthians. I'm going to read a few scriptures. 1 Corinthians 11, 27. Through 32. And if you want to, you can just jot these scriptures down if you want to go back to them. Sometimes it takes a long time for everybody to get to the place. So 11:27, and it says this: Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we, here's the clincher, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. So this is the night that we are going to judge ourselves. Nobody else, just ourselves. We're going to look at ourselves, and we're going to judge ourselves and examine ourselves. That word examine means to test, by implication, to approve, discern, or try. And we're going to examine ourselves because we want to be successful. Did you come with some problems? Did you come with some things going wrong in your life and you think possibly they're demonic, and it's possible that they are. But maybe it may be demonic, and it may not be demonic. So we don't want any blocks to keep us from receiving what God has for us. We have to look at the attitudes of our hearts. And as I share these scriptures and you examine yourself, if you know that you have been guilty of these, just quickly say, Lord, forgive me for that. I've done that. I ask you to forgive me. And guess what? You're forgiven. And then the slate is clean. The ground is ready to be planted and for what God has for you to come to you. Okay? So we already talked about unforgiveness. In Matthew 6:9, this is in the Lord's Prayer. So it's really very important. Matthew 6, verse 9. Matthew 6. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is in heaven. Give us this day, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do you hear that? When we pray that, we're asking God, Lord, I want you to forgive me the way I forgive others. You know, if you're not being forgiving, he can't either. In verse 13, it says, And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So you see, this is so important that we forgive. In Ephesians 4, it says, 26 and 27, I want to read that, Ephesians 4. This is one of the ways that we, and one of the reasons we must, be ye angry and sin not. See, it's not a sin to be angry, but if you sin in your anger, that's not good. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. See, one time Mike and I had an argument right before bedtime, and I was really bothered by it because I had sat under Jerry McGee, and I've heard the scripture a million times, do not let the sun go down on your anger. And so I was in a pickle because it was bedtime and I was tired, but I was angry. And I had not forgiven, and I was wrestling with that. And then it dawned on me, hey, we had this argument after the sun had already gone down. I've got another whole day to forgive. Of course, I know that I could not take that seriously. But it was the truth. The sun had already gone down. But I was having trouble climbing into that bed with the man that I was angry at. So I did. I forgave him. We must forgive. You know why it's important? Because Matthew 13:25 says, While men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the weeds and went his way. See, while we're asleep, our subconscious is under. That's why when I go to bed at night, I am careful to pray, and I find every, I'm teaching this to my granddaughter because they're staying with us for a while, and every night she reads a chapter of the Bible to me out loud, and we have good discussion. And then as soon as she closes it, I say, Father, and she says, Father, I bind every spirit that would come to torment me in my sleep. This will help you sleep. I bind every spirit that would come to torment me in my sleep, even in my dreams. And I call the mighty angels around me, shoulder to shoulder, to stand around me and watch over me while I sleep, that no evil penetrate. So that will help you sleep. Okay? So forgiveness is a key, like the keys that came in the little gift, although it said joy. That's also a key. Matthew 18... 21. Let's look at this one. Yes. You know what that reminds me of? I have a ladies' Bible study that I lead, and forever the phone is ringing. People are jumping up to go answer their phones. And one day I said, okay, ladies, the phones are going off. The phones are going off. There is nothing before cell phones. You would come to a Bible study and you'd have to wait till you got home to find out if anybody called you. Now let's turn off the phone. So we're sitting there and the phone is ringing.
Sure.
A phone is ringing. And I went, whose phone is that? And a lady said, I think it's coming from your phone. Busted. So that reminds me of that. Okay, I didn't even bring my phone. It's in the room. And I tell people that email me and text me, I am at Lake Hamilton, and I do not answer texts or emails or anything else while I'm here. So you'll just have to wait till I get home. Okay. See, that was a little distraction. Matthew 18. But it didn't work. Matthew 18, verse 21 to the end. Okay. Then came Peter to him, to Jesus, and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king who would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him who owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had nothing to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him. Now this word worship, it means he put himself in a submissive posture. That's what that means. He put himself in a submissive, he wasn't worshiping like that. Okay. Saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what thou owest. And the fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when the fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all the debt because thou besought me. Shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was angry and delivered him to the inquisitors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother his trespasses. So you see, we can be thrown into a prison. I mean, it's a prison of our own doing, actually. But we can be thrown into a prison and turned over to the inquisitors, which are tormentors, which are demons. It could be financial problems, it could be relationship problems, it could be infirmities, who knows? So we want to surely forgive. And as was said earlier, forgiveness is not for the other person, but it's for you. Holding unforgiveness is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. So what keeps us there? Matthew 18, 1 through 7. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to the man by whom the offense cometh. So just know that offenses will come. They came to Jesus and they will come to us. So we have to be very careful about being offended. It gives an occasion to fall when we are offended or when we offend someone else. So has anyone offended you? Just think about it. Or have you offended someone else? With a look, with a word, a tone of voice, even a thought. Have you been offensive to God? Have you offended God or His Holy Spirit? We examine ourselves. Now, I want to go back to 1 Corinthians 11 for a minute. You know what? Offending one of these little ones. He was talking about the children. And I see a newborn Christian as a little child, because they're fresh and they're easily hurt and confused. Well, my little granddaughter is in the fifth grade now, and she is like her granny. She's not very good in math at all. And it's very embarrassing not to be able to help her with her homework. I just had to tell her one day, I said, Kaylee, I am really sorry. Granny is just terrible in math. I'll tell you what I told somebody one time in the office. I don't know very much, but what I do know, I know very well. But math is not one of them. You'll have to wait till Granny gets home. But one night at bedtime, which is usually when children bring up things that were upsetting to them, she said, hey, Grammy, today in school, and she's digging in her backpack, and she brings out a piece of paper this big, and there were 100 very simple multiplication problems. Simple. She answered, and it was like timed. The first 33 that she did were all correct. The other, well, it was 35, because there were 65 over everyone that she didn't answer. And Kaylee said, with huge tears coming down her face, and Grammy, she was passing out the papers, and she called my name, and I went up to get my paper, and she said, and Kaylee, you made the worst grade in the whole class. You only got 33 right. That is ridiculous. And Kaylee, I said, oh, okay. What did you do, baby? She said, I said, yes, ma'am. And I can't believe she didn't break down crying. But anyway, she said, yes, ma'am. And she said, you need to study more. And she said, yes, ma'am. And she went and sat down. And it just broke my heart. And I, you know, as I thought about it, Lord, how do we handle this? This is a teacher. She's molding children. And that was so hateful. And I told Kaylee, I said, Kaylee, what she did was wrong, baby. I said, she has what you call a mean man spirit. But I want you to remember two things. It's only hard because you don't know your multiplication table. She's been moved so many times. And in her moving, evidently the curriculum, she missed the multiplication table. I said, but we're going to change that. Grammy, it's going to work with you. I can remember being in elementary school. 1 times 3 is 3. One times 4 is 4. I mean, it was a, and that's what I do with her. It is like a beat. And we just finished our 4s. And she's, I mean, there's nothing wrong with her learning. And I did pray the arrested development prayer over though her, because she was born illegitimately. And children that are born illegitimately have the arrested development going on, learning disabilities, speech impediments, dyslexia, ADD, ADHD, all those things are wrapped up in that bastard curse. I'm not going to teach on that this time, but it is on LHBCOnline.com. Scroll down to my name and hit it and look for it. It's on there, and it's a real eye-opener. But I did pray that for her, and I had told a friend of mine, and she said, I don't know how you didn't go down there and choke that teacher. I said, well, you know, that's not what we're supposed to do. But anyway, we prayed, and she prayed that they would move that teacher out of there. She has no business being over children. Well, 2 weeks later, I'll have you know, I was taking Tony down to my mother's, and she said, hey, Grammy, you know that teacher, my math teacher? I said, the one that embarrassed you? She said, yes. Which we prayed and we forgave her. They're moving her to seventh grade math. I said, really? And this is in the middle of the semester. That's a miracle, y'all. So, you know, the woman that prayed with me, you know, I'm a big believer in Ephesians 4, 6, and 7, which says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Now, you might request something and God doesn't answer it because you pray amiss. Don't worry about that. It says pray your request. Now, you can't be violent. I heard a woman say one time, and I hope he steps off the sidewalk and gets hit by a truck. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, whoa, whoa. No. 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 But anyway, she prayed her request, and that was to move that teacher out of that class, and the teacher was moved out of the class. And she told me the other day that, you know what, math used to be my least favorite subject and PE was my best, but now I like math the best and PE is my least favorite. And she is excelling. She made the highest grade in the class on something, and the teacher said, out of all six classes, yours was one of the highest. I mean, we're so excited. Because that's hard. I didn't do well in school either. I remember how hard it was. Okay, so 1 Corinthians 11, again, verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Now, judgment, you know, I used to, when you get a group of women together, before God changed me, it was great fun to sit around and judge other people and talk about them and cut them down. And, you know, I had a critical spirit, and it was just awful. But I have learned, and I want to say this to you, especially you who are new here, that in Matthew, let's read the scripture first, Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, it says this, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure you measure it, it shall be measured to you again. I want you to know that that is a spiritual law. It is as real as the law of gravity is a physical law. If you judge somebody, you are writing, it's like writing a purchase order for it to come to your house. And believe me, it will be delivered. Nobody gets past it. Everything that I judged as a young woman, I have had to suffer. Everything. And what I learned about judgment is wherever a person has a strength or something they're good at, like I have a couple of older women that I know in my family that pride themselves on what good housekeepers they are. And so everywhere they go, it's like, did you see their kitchen cabinet? Did you see? And, you know, the only reason they can do that is because that's the area that they excel. Well, yeah, but what about, you know? But that's where judgment comes from. It's pride. You know how you spell pride? P-R, capital I, D-E. So, have you judged anybody? And let me ask you this. Are you suffering something that perhaps you judged somebody about? It's easy to look at others. Like, I was always a real happy-go-lucky, joyful person. And somebody I knew was fought depression. And I thought, what do you have to be depressed about? I mean, just quit it. Just stop it. Well, guess who had a depression? And guess what? You can't just stop it. It takes you over. It's stronger than you are. So all of these things that I judged, I suffered. There was a woman that lived on our street when I was young, even before I had babies. She had these two teenage boys. She was divorced. She had the kids had a stepdaddy there. Then the mother would not let the stepdaddy discipline the boys. So they were constantly in trouble. The police car was over there all the time. And I could sit at my kitchen table and look out my window and watch all this going on. And I could have gone down there and told that lady, just what you need to do with those kids. Well, guess what? I had the police car come into my house. I had one in jail. that ended up in prison? And no, I beg you, I warn you, judge not. Jesus warns us, judge not. You know, there's an old Indian saying that unless you've walked a mile in that man's moccasins, that's a very good saying. If you haven't lived it, you have no understanding of it, keep your mouth off of it. Pray for them. Bring them up to the Lord. So examine yourself. Have I judged anybody? Is something going on in my life right now that I've judged somebody and that purchase order has been delivered? And if you've judged somebody and it hasn't come to you yet, repent now and let the purchase order be destroyed. Let it be lost in the mail. Yes. Verse 3 says, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull the mote out of thine eye, and behold, the beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye. The Lord showed me one day when I was thinking about this. When you're really looking at somebody else and you see a beam or a splinter, it's like a splinter. You have a beam and they have a splinter, but you're looking at that splinter that is a reflection of the beam that's in your own eye. Ooh, that hit me. That hit me. There was an old fella that lived out in the woods near us. He was full of little sayings. And I like to pick at him. And I'd say, well, you something or other. And he goes, look at that. There's three fingers pointing back at you. See, when you point, there's three fingers pointing back at you. So I made real sure when he was around, I would say, oh, me. We had a good time. Romans 2:21-22. Thou therefore who teachest another, teachest not thyself. Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest hot idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. How many times do we hold people up to a certain standard that we can't even live up to ourselves? I remember I used to do that with my husband. I was really angry with him because he would not discipline our children. He's a mercy man. And he would just, things would go on and on and on. And I would get so upset with him. And one day God said to me, I want you to stop looking to Mike, to Father. It was our middle son, Kyle. I want you to stop looking to him, to Father Kyle. And he was 16. He said, I will Father Kyle. And as I thought about that, I realized that I was holding something against him because he was not doing what I thought he should do. And then as I examined the whole picture, his daddy was a coach. His daddy was never home. He didn't have an example, you know. And here I was expecting something from him that he didn't even have to give. And that, when God told me that, it took away all my anger from my husband. And I was looking to God, because God told me to lay Kyle on the altar. He said, don't forget, I love him more than you know how to. We can trust our children. If they are in a rebellious way, we can trust our children to God. Like the prodigal son. He said, can you lay him on the altar? And I had just studied Abraham and Isaac. And that was comforting to me because I knew the end, the happy ending. The happy ending, Isaac was spared. And I'm still hoping for some things that I haven't seen manifest, but I know they will. Because I live by faith and not by sight. But I can do that a lot easier if they're not in my sight. When they're in my sight, I see, you know, but we are not to look at those. Abraham, the way he was made, called the friend of God, he considered not the circumstances, the circumstances. He considered them not. Sometimes we just have to consider them not. We would save ourselves a lot of heartache if we would just, I consider it not. He belongs to God. He's yours. I'm giving it to you. Okay. The Pharisees, that's what they did. They held people to standards that they couldn't even live up to. And I did that. I held everybody to standards that they couldn't live up to. I had standards for my own self that I couldn't live up to. And I crashed and burned. That's where I was in the depression. But you know what? God is able. Everything that I have received has been from God. He's the one who healed me of depression. I mean, instantly. An encounter with Jesus took care of it all. He's the one who healed me of allergies. He's the one who healed my marriage. Nobody else. He is my all in all. Somebody was talking about some new flash in the pan thing that came along, and they said, I want to be a believer in that. And I said, I want to be a believer in Jesus. That's all, Jesus. Because let me tell you, when everything in this world crumbles, you better know who your provider is, who your healer is, where your peace is, where your rest is. He is our all in all. Religious spirits can be a problem. Some of us have inherited religious spirits, antichrist spirits, depending on what church you were raised in. Some of these churches, religions, denominations, whatever you want to call it, have antichrist spirits with it. A lot of people who come and are just really seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and they just can't seem to get it. And when God showed me the antichrist spirit, I began to ask them, can I ask you what church you were raised in? And then I say, we need to break the antichrist spirit. Antichrist spirit? I said, listen, anything that disputes the word of God is an antichrist spirit. If you were raised in a church that taught you that speaking in tongues was demonic, and that all the works, all the miracles passed away with the apostles, that is not what the word says. Those are antichrist spirits. If you worshiped anybody but Jesus, let me just, this is not in my notes, but I want to, turn right to it. This is what Jesus said to those that wanted to worship his mother. He rebuked them. It says, and it came to pass as he spoke these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said, blessed is the womb that bore thee and the breast which nursed thee. And Jesus said, yeah, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. See, they were rebuked for Mary worship. And there are other religions that have antichrist spirits in them. So if you are having trouble, like receiving from God, hearing God, you know, your faith won't grow or whatever, could be there's an antichrist spirit present. And so that can be dealt with. In fact, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, for every person who was raised and have inherited antichrist spirits, I bind them now and break their power, and I command them to get out now. All antichrist spirits, all lies and perversion and twisting God's word, all lies that say that speaking in tongues is demonic, all lies that say resist the Holy Ghost, all lies that say that the miracles of God ended with the apostles. No. I break those lies now, and I command that spirit of Antichrist to get out in the name of Jesus, so that God's people can receive the truth, the whole truth, the whole truth. in Jesus' name. There may be some, there are antichrist spirits. When the Bible says that we are not to make an oath, you know, one time they said they were going to take the Bible out of the courtrooms. They weren't going to have them swear on the Bible anymore. And I thought, how dare they? Until I read in the Bible that you're not supposed to swear. You can't, you know, don't swear. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, for anything beyond that is evil. See how perverse, see how sneaky the devil is, that he would have them use the Bible to swear on in the first place. Religious spirits will miss the miracle, and critical spirits are religious spirits. And then there are doctrines of demons, which it says in the last time, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And let me just say this, it's not the giving heed to the seducing spirits and doctrines of devils that cause you to fall from the faith. Or you don't fall away from the faith and then give heed to those. It's giving heed to those that will cause you to fall away from the faith. So we have to be very careful in these end times as deception enters in and tries to seduce us to know your word, get in your word. Because if you know the word, one little twist is going to stand out. I love it that God even has said to me sometimes, go look that up. Surprising. Boy, I was at a worship service one time. We were worshiping. The worship leader said, let's lift up the name of Jesus, people, because it says if we lift up the name of Jesus, that all men will be drawn unto him. And I'm just worshiping, and God said, go look that up. I was like, really? And I looked it up, and do you know what it says? If I, Jesus said, be lifted up from the earth, that's resurrection, I will draw all men unto me. See how they just twist one little word? And then people go and repeat it because they heard somebody say it. That's how it happens. Remember that little game you used to play as a kid where one person would whisper something and everybody would whisper it and it would come back? So, not what was whispered at first. Okay, Luke 13, and then we're just about done, and then we're going to go get some sleep, because I know y'all are tired. You've all traveled, and we're going to get some good sleep, and then we're going to come at 6 o'clock in the morning and get started. Luke 13, 13 through 16. Luke 13, is that right? Yes. And he laid hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work, and then therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. And then the Lord answered him and said, thou hypocrite, doth not each of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound? I want to make that point. This woman had a spirit of infirmity. And Jesus said, whom Satan hath bound. So if you're here for healing, go after it. Sunday morning I'm going to teach on healing. So if you came for healing, it's going to be good. Because Satan bound her. Satan bound her with infirmity. And Jesus healed her. But you see, with the religious spirits, the ruler of the synagogue wanted to call Jesus down for healing on the Sabbath day. So they missed the miracle. And that's in the word. Over and over and over again, they tried to criticize Jesus for doing good. Okay, I'm going to end with 1 Corinthians 13. You know, the Lord one time, it was when all three of my children were going to be in school all day. And I was so excited because I was so zealous. Well, I was excited because they were going to be in school all day for sure. But the other thing I was excited about was that, Lord, I'm going to have more time than ever to do your work. And do you know, At that time, I was teaching Sunday school in the church. I was working with an after-school program. I was on committees. Every time they needed a volunteer, I was right there because I wanted to work for God. And so I was going to be able to do even more for Him. Well, before they all got in school, He made me get out of everything. Everything. And I was sitting on my front porch. I'll never forget. First day I went to school. And here I sat, and I said, Lord, I just don't understand this at all. I was going to have more time to work for you. And He interrupted me, and He said, Carla, I'm very pleased that you want to work for me, but you have to get it right in your home first. And I said, okay, well, while I'm sitting here doing nothing, I want you to teach me how to really love my husband and children. I was like, what? I was praying. What? Love my husband and children. Well, of course I love my husband and children. And I started trying to think all the way, well, I do this and I do this and I do this and I do this and I do this. And God said, that's just mechanics. Anybody can do that. I thought, well, what is love anyway? And I remembered 1 Corinthians 13. So I opened my Bible and I start reading. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become a sounding bronze or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. And then I started seeing a little motion picture of me in my house with the kids, with my husband. Oh, my. It was like this chainsaw just cut me off at the knees, and down I went. And I was horrified to know how little love I had. And that became my prayer. Lord, I need your love. I need your love. It says, love suffereth long and is kind. That wasn't me. Man, if mama suffered, everybody suffered. The old t-shirt. Mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Yeah, that was more the word for me than this. Love suffers long and is kind. Love envieth not. I was the most jealous person I knew. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. I was judging everybody. Puffed up, oh my goodness. Does not behave itself unseemly, oh my goodness. I thought of the times I would throw fits because it didn't get my way. Seeks not its own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall be done away. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. I was immature and selfish, childish. But now we see in the mirror darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know, even as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. And love has to be the motivation for everything you do for God. Love for Him and love for others. That's what the commandment is. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. So James 4:8 says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. That's what we are here for this weekend, is to draw nigh to God. And He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. And in closing, I want to read 1 John 1:5 through 10. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth Him that begot, and everyone that loveth Him that begot, loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? So see, we're going to become more of overcomers this weekend with the things that we learn, with God's love and help. We can achieve the things that he wants us to achieve. Before, it was a hard thing. I don't remember who it was that said that if you give him everything, he will give you everything. She didn't say the second part. I said the second part. Just give him everything and let him give you everything. Because he wants to give to you. He wants to love you. He wants to lavish you. He wants to love on you. And Father, tonight as we lay down and go to bed, I ask that you would bring to their memories anything that we've talked about tonight. If they have forgotten, even if it's been tucked away somewhere, Lord, I ask you to shine your light on it. Bring it to the surface, Lord, so that there won't be anything standing in the way. But Lord, we want an open heaven this weekend that we might receive everything that you have planned for us this weekend. We love you, Lord. Your word says that where two are gathered in your name, that there you are in the midst of us. And we just thank you for being here with us this weekend. We thank you for your presence. And Lord, right now, I just bless everyone with a restful night's sleep. I bind the tormentors right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And I bind every familiar spirit that came with all of us from having a party and interacting. I bind those familiar spirits right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And I say, have a sweet sleep in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.